Let us look at just three verses from Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll move on to Mark chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, start at Mark chapter 9. That's where we'll spend most of our time. But I do want to start with a few verses from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 14, Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes, he says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted together and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about maturity as a Christian. He's saying, let's not remain children. We know how children see the world. We know that they don't have mature thinking. We know that they don't have mature emotions. We know that they're easily deceived. We know that they can be easily manipulated. We know that they're naive about the world. And so Paul said we can't be that way spiritually. He said if you're that way spiritually, you're carried away by every wind of doctrine. Every new idea that comes along, you're going to accept it, you're going to believe it like a child. But then he says in verse 15, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Now we're always moving toward Christ in our spiritual maturity. We're heading in his direction. We never go back, we never regress into a childlike spirituality, but we mature every day into more of a likeness of Jesus. And many people understand that. Many people recognize that in their own faith. They say, I'm a bit childish here and there. I know I need to grow up in this area or that area of my life. I'm not mature in all aspects. And they're okay with that. They understand that. That's a healthy appreciation for their spiritual well-being. That's why you see some bumper stickers. Here I see these bumper stickers called bumper sticker theology. Things you read on the back of cars, some of them are accurate, some of them are biblical, some are not. Some that are very truthful concerning this topic. You may see one that says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. That's true. Another one, be patient, God isn't through with me. That's true. Another one says, caution, Christian under construction. That's another one that's true. All those are true. And we're always growing, we're always maturing, we're always under construction. We're always trying to build up to what Jesus would have us be. It was like, you've heard me use the illustration before about Michelangelo when he built that statue of David, the famous statue. Somebody asked him, how did you do that? How did you make this work of art? And they were expecting this very detailed explanation of how to chisel, how to construct anything out of a certain type of stone, and so on and so forth. And Michelangelo said, I cut away everything that wasn't David. And so that's what we're trying to do as Christians. We're trying to cut away everything that isn't Christ of our lives. But that takes some time. That takes some growing up. That takes some recognition of our state. We're all imperfect disciples. Imperfect disciples. And that word disciple is a very good word. If I were to ask you, what does that word mean? What does the word disciple mean? You'd probably say follower. That would probably be the first word that comes to mind. And that's accurate. That's true. But if you really study that word and look a little bit deeper, it's more than just being a follower. Actually, a disciple is a learner, somebody's learning, and the assumption with a disciple is that he never really gets to the level of the master. Because if you did, then you would be the master. You'd no longer be a disciple. But if you always consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ, which the Bible describes all Christians as, since we can never reach the perfection of Jesus, we're always learning, knowing that we're never going to get to that point, but we're always trying to. We're always trying to get there. And that imperfection that we have, even though we are imperfect disciples, that shouldn't discourage us. As long as we're walking toward Jesus, or as John said in 1 John chapter 1, as long as we're walking in the light. Notice he didn't say, as long as you are perfect. John said simply that we are walking in the light, that we are living by faith. Because everyone has a past. Everyone has things that they can think back on and say, wish I wouldn't have done that. Wish I wouldn't have said that. Some can even look back at more serious things. They might be sitting in a prison cell right now and say, I wish I wouldn't have stolen that. Wish I wouldn't have pulled that trigger. Everybody can look back, and some things are very serious. Some things are, we would see, but might see as being very minor. We all have embarrassments. We all have disappointments. We're disappointed other people or disappoint ourselves. We're all in the same boat in that regard. The question only becomes, is that when you realize that you're an imperfect disciple, you can either say, well, I'm going to grow from this, or you can say, I'll never be what God wants me to be. You can either say, I'm going to grow, or you can say, I'm never going to be what God wants me to be, and essentially say, well, so I'm not going to be a Christian anymore. I'm not going to be faithful. Because I just fail at life all the time. I never live up to the mark that Christ set, so what's really the point? We'd much rather you say, I know I'm an imperfect disciple, but I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to keep maturing, because I don't want to be like what Paul talked about in Ephesians 4. I don't want to be like a child that just gets thrown around by all the spiritual wind, all the spiritual storms. I want us to look now at Mark chapter 9 that I mentioned just a moment ago. We spent both lessons today in the book of Mark. But I want us to look at some imperfect disciples. I want us to look at an imperfect performance, an imperfect faith, an imperfect knowledge this evening from this passage from Mark chapter 9. First of all, let's look at an imperfect performance that some people were involved in. Beginning of verse 14 of Mark chapter 9. And this, by the way, as you can see probably there in your Bible, this is after the transfiguration when Jesus comes down from that great moment with his few close disciples. Because when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, he slams to the ground and he foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. Let's just stop right there at the beginning of verse 20. The disciples in the situation, you have this family that comes to Jesus after he comes to the transfiguration. He says, we have this child that goes into these seizures. and basically pretty violent seizures. He falls to the ground, he grinds his teeth, his body gets stiff, he cannot speak. Very similar to something you would see today. There are people that, of course, have seizures very similar. And this could be the case of a simple neurological problem. But they bring Jesus is up on the transfiguration. And they had taken this boy to the disciples, and they couldn't heal him. They couldn't do anything with him. And that's very interesting because three chapters earlier, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus gave those disciples the ability to do that. In Mark chapter 6, after he sent them out, in verse 12 it says, when they went out and preached that men should repent, and they were casting out many demons, and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. So Mark chapter 6, Jesus gives the apostles the ability to do this. And while Jesus was gone, they bring a boy to the disciples, and they can't do it. Isn't that strange? We have an imperfect performance by the disciples. And now Jesus is dealing with this boy. We're in the same situation many times in our faith. We're faced with failure. And we're imperfect in our performance and our faith as we live every day. I'm sure the disciples were embarrassed by this. Notice the scribes came along and they were seized upon this. They were very interested in the fact that the disciples couldn't do it. The disciples were very embarrassed by their imperfect performance. Has that been the case with you? When you say, well, I'm going to teach that person about Jesus. They're lost. I'm going to call them up and have a Bible study. And you sit down with somebody and you can tell very quickly that this Bible study is not going to work in the sense that this person is not going to believe, not believing the things you talk about. You can see very quickly that they're very dismissive of what you're saying. And you leave that meeting with that person. Maybe they came to your house or you went to their house. You met at a restaurant, whatever it is. And you say, well, I'm not a very good Christian. I let down the Lord. I wasn't able to convert this person. Maybe you taught a class here in this building or somewhere else if you came from another congregation at some point in your life. And maybe the class didn't go well for whatever reason. Maybe some children in the class stopped coming to your class. You say, I'm embarrassed. I'm not a very good teacher. Maybe it's in your family. Somebody in your family isn't faithful. Somebody in your family you have a disagreement with, and you've had serious arguments with, and you just don't get along with them, and you think to yourself, you know, if I were a better Christian, I wouldn't behave like that. If I were a better Christian, this person wouldn't act like that. So many times in our life, we have that imperfect performance. This family brings this person to the disciples, and they can't do anything with it. And Jesus has to intervene. It's going to happen to all of us because we're not perfect. But we are still disciples. And that goes on to an imperfect faith. Beginning verse 19. And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsion. Falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked of his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can, he said, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out. The boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. In this section, we have an imperfect faith. First, we got imperfect disciples because they couldn't heal the boy. And here we have the father of this boy talking to Jesus. And he says, hey, I think you can do it. If anybody can do it, you can. And Jesus asked him, he kind of stopped him and said, if I can, of course I can. All things are possible to him who believes. And then that great statement from the boy's father. I do believe, but help my unbelief. But help my unbelief. We often think that doubt should not be part of a Christian's life. That either you have faith or you have doubt, but you can't have both. That's just not true. It's absolutely not true. We have so many things that happen in life maybe we've never experienced before. Something comes along that we have to deal with for the first time ever. And so we may doubt our ability to handle it. We don't know how God is going to help us in the situation. We're human beings. Of course we have doubts. Of course we have questions. Of course, we're confused by things. Someone once said, an ounce of doubt need not destroy a ton of faith. An ounce of doubt need not destroy a ton of faith. I think this boy's father had a ton of faith. First, he went to the disciples. They couldn't do it. Here's Jesus comes into the crowd. Jesus, you heal him. That's a ton of faith. Of course, would Jesus prefer that this father not question him? Would he prefer that this father say, I'm going to be with you until you heal my son? I'm sure that would be true, but the man said, help my unbelief. He acknowledged he had it. He said, I want you to help me with it. I want you to help my unbelief. He didn't say, I have unbelief, so now I don't believe in you. I have doubt, so I'm just not going to have anything to do with Jesus because I have questions. No, this man handled his unbelief the right way. He said, Lord, I believe in you, but there's some things I don't really get. And I want you to help me with it. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to turn around and turn my back on you. Help me with it. There are so many people that stay away from the Lord because they have doubts about things. And whether it's about, some have doubts about how the world started, the creation. Well, I don't understand all of creation, so I'm not going to be a believer. Some have doubts about how the things are going to end. They have doubts about the beginning, they have doubts about the end. They say, I don't know what it's going to be like after this world ends. I don't really understand all about heaven. I don't understand all about hell. I don't understand where the soul is of somebody who died 1,000 years ago if there's only one judgment day. Questions like that. And some doubt the things that go on in between creation and the end. I don't know how there's enough grace to save murderers. How somebody can live a life that is so far away from God, how God can save them. I don't understand that. I doubt that those people can be saved if they obey the gospel. Since they have all those questions and doubts, they say, I'm going to stay away from the Lord. Instead of saying, help my unbelief. Help it. I want to study. I want to learn. Finally, we have an imperfect knowledge. Look beginning in verse 28. When he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately. Of course, this is over. The boy's been healed. Now we have the disciples meeting up with Jesus. They began questioning him privately. Why could we not drive it out? But Jesus, wait a minute. How come we couldn't do it? Good question. Verse 29, he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. From there they went out and began to go through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know about it. For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered in the hands of men, and they will kill him. When he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. We have imperfect knowledge. First, we had an imperfect performance by the disciples. Then we had an imperfect faith by the father of the boy who was afflicted with a seizure. Now we have imperfect knowledge. The disciples said, okay, how come we couldn't do it? Jesus said, well, it's kind of a special case. It's kind of an interesting statement he gives. He said, this can only be handled by prayer. That's all we have. Doesn't really give us probably all we would like to know about that. And Jesus just said, doesn't rebuke them. He just said, this is kind of a special case. But then he goes on to say, don't tell anybody about this. And they said, why? We said, well, I have to be delivered. I have to be anything interrupting the plan that's supposed to take place. And it simply says in verse 32, the disciples didn't understand that. And they didn't even want to ask him about it. You ever have that fear? You don't understand something? I kind of think I know what you're talking about. I think I know the situation, but it's a little too scary. I really don't want to hear the answer, so I'm not even going to ask. That's where the disciples were. Jesus said enough there about killing, about being raised. They didn't want the details. They didn't even ask. At times we have an imperfect knowledge. We don't know everything we would like to know in the moment. We've talked about how God can see the whole parade of life. He can see where the parade begins. He can see where the parade ends. And we're just like the person standing on the side of the road. And I can only see so far up that way at the parade. I can only see so far that way. This is my life. This is the only place I live. I can see a little bit past. I can think a little bit to the future, what might happen tomorrow and the day after. It's very limited. And Jesus sees the whole picture. He knows it all. So we have imperfect knowledge. Jesus knew what he was going to do in his life. The disciples didn't understand it. They didn't want to ask. And that was okay. That was okay. Somebody once said, I don't always know how to please God, but I think my desire to please Him pleases Him. I don't always know how to please God, but I think my desire to please Him pleases Him. We don't always understand God. Because we don't always know exactly what God is doing in the moment. It took Joseph most of his life to ever understand what God was doing. Right? He didn't understand really anything was going on. But at the end of his life, Joseph said, "Oh, I get it now. All of this happened so I could be standing here during a famine and be in charge of the food. And so my family would come to me and I could help them survive it." He said, "God sent me here to preserve life. God sent me here." I think I would have said to my brothers, "You sent me here because you sold me into slavery. You did this." Joseph said, "God sent me here to preserve life." See, we don't always know what God is doing in the moment. So we don't have all the answers. We don't know exactly what He's doing. But we still maintain that desire to please Him. We still trust Him. We lean not on our own understanding. We trust Him. See, at times in life, we're going to have imperfect performance because we're imperfect disciples. We're going to have imperfect faith because we're imperfect disciples. We're going to have imperfect knowledge because we're imperfect disciples. And that's, none of those things are things we should feel bad about. We simply acknowledge them and say, "Help my unbelief. Help this situation. I don't know what's going on, but I trust you that you have the answer." And we always lean on Him, even though we don't always know what's going on, because He is perfect. He does have perfect performance. Jesus on this earth had perfect faith in His Father. And Jesus has perfect knowledge. So imperfect people rely on Him. If you're lost this evening, if you're not a Christian, never been baptized into Christ and come into contact with the blood of Christ, we encourage you to do that tonight. By coming forward and confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Lord, repenting of your sins, we'll baptize you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. If you need prayers this evening, your faith this week, you say, I need help, I need prayers, I need encouragement, we can also assist you with that. Whatever it is, please come and always stand and sing. Jesus.